Welcome to the conference room with this week's guest, Sean Blankhorn.
You can have this kind of secondary resource, a sales engineer who is building technical relationships within an account, gaining trust that way, and then leveraging that within the sales cycle and you know, having some diversity there. Because there's conversations I can have as a sales engineer that a sales account executive would never successfully have.
Welcome to The Conference Room, a weekly podcast where business leaders and growth experts kindly share their experiences, actionable tips, and secrets to successfully grow a business. If you like the podcast, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a five-star review. It'll really help us out. And I really hope you enjoy this week's episode. I'm Simon Lader. Welcome to The Conference Room. Good afternoon and welcome to The Conference Room. I'm joined by Mr. Sean Blankhorn. Sean is the Vice President of Worldwide Sales Engineering for leading cybersecurity vendor Axonius. In a career spanning over 20 years, his experience includes time with organizations as diverse as Symantec, the Canadian bank CIBC, and the Stratford Shakespeare Festival. He spent almost 7 years with eSentire, culminating in him being Chief Product Officer and Chief Experience Officer. Sean is an advisor to several early stage vendors, and since November 2021, he has led the global sales engineering team at Axonius. And I'm delighted that he's agreed to give some of his extremely valuable time to join us here in the conference room. So, Sean Blankhorn, good afternoon and welcome to the conference room.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Simon. I very much appreciate the welcome and the introduction.
Great stuff. So every hero has an origin story, and you're the hero of our story. So tell me, how did you get from starting out, leaving college and breaking into the technology space to becoming the Vice President of Worldwide Sales Engineering at Axonius?
Yeah. No, it's a good question. It's a long, it was many different paths in my story and different turns that I've taken, I guess, throughout my time. But I started, you know, if we go back to at least college days, it really started with me having a passion for technology, knowing I wanted to do something within technology, you know, as a younger kid, and ultimately deciding to go to a college in Canada called Georgian College, just north of Toronto, Ontario, and I took a degree that was focused in software engineering. And so did a lot of development, you know, coding and everything else. And really my first probably 5 or 6 years were focused in software engineering, mostly in very early stage web development. I mean, this is going back to mid and late 90s. When web development, web application development was still pretty new at that time. So I'm dating myself a little bit here. But what I quickly realized then is, well, I have a passion for technology, and I did love, development overall. I was not the best developer. And that was, you know, hard to realize and hard to swallow. But I realized there's some really, really talented people out there. And really what I became more passionate about was the people side of the business of technology. And so at a very early stage, I got onto the path of kind of team leadership and so forth. And fast forward, I stayed in the web development. That was all the way through the CIBC years. And you mentioned the Stratford Festival, which is going way back. And all of those were around development. When I moved, I immigrated to the U.S. in 2003, so 20 years ago. I really got into focusing on the consulting side of the world of technology. And that brought me into cybersecurity. So I spent probably the better part of a decade on the consulting side of the business, working with large-scale corporations globally that were purchasing cybersecurity technology. And that's what got me into cybersecurity was kind of that first foray into consulting. And so I was working with like the likes of, you know, Walmart, Home Depot, Coca-Cola, Bank of America, these really large scale organizations, and they would be purchasing things like, you know, SIM, DLP, email security, things such as endpoint security. And I would work with these organizations to help architect and roll out these technologies to their global environments. So that gave me, that really cut my teeth in cybersecurity. And what I realized is not only did I have a passion for leading and people, but I also had this passion for cybersecurity. And I love the space as I learned more and more as I got into it. And that forayed into me getting some exposure on the pre-sale side of the world. And so I went from being a consultant to then actually working in the pre-sale side of the world, which is working in the sales, being a technical counterpart to the sales executives, and being the one that would go into meetings, helping customers understand the deep technicalities of products and solutions that they were purchasing. And I found my next kind of passion, which was sales. So now you married the technology with the people, with the sales side. And I really found a home, I think, in the pre-sales world. The other thing that's kind of genetic in my genetic makeup is my predisposition to want to work with small startups or smaller startups, rapidly growing companies. And that comes from a family trait. My whole family is entrepreneurs. And so what I knew, while I had incredible experience at companies like Symantec, they were too big for me. I wanted to get into the startup world. And I had an incredible run at eSentire for 7 years, where I helped start by leading their sales engineering. I was the first ever sales engineer. I grew a sales engineering team. Then I grew consulting services, advisory services team there. Then I was asked to take over the product team, and I rebuilt that product organization there, helped build the vision for where eSentire was going to go next. But when I started, eSentire was 50 people. They were less than $5 million in revenue. And when I left, they were over 500 people, more than $75 million in revenue. So that whole run was such an incredible experience over almost 7 years. Luckily enough, as one of the things I did there, I became an Exonius customer when I was at eSentire. So it's a small little world, as we all know. And when I, you know, fast forward, there was some work I did in between consulting and working, advising multiple different startups, which I still do some of that today as well. But I did that for about 18 months when there was an opportunity that became available at Exonius. I had fallen in love with their technology when I implemented it at eSentire, and I jumped at the opportunity to join Exonius directly and be part of their journey as they grew up. So now I've been here for about 19 months, and we've gone from when I joined, we were about 250 employees. We're now about 650 employees. We're valued at $2.6 billion as of our last round. And my team, my sales engineering team, has gone from 12 sales engineers to 41 sales engineers globally. So it's been really, really rapid growth over that time, expanding into all different markets, geographies, you know, all around the world. So it's been a really exciting journey.
Amazing, amazing. So let's dig into what exactly a sales engineer is, and used a couple of different terms. You talked about sales engineer and pre-sales, people may have also heard, you didn't use the term, but also people may have also heard of like technical account managers as well. So let's kind of break it down to the basics. What exactly is the role of a sales engineer, a pre-sales pre-sales consultant? What's their role? What do they do in an organization? And why should an organization like Exonius hire 41 of them?
Yeah, it's a good question. So, you know, when you have a solution, whatever that solution might be, it doesn't have to be a cybersecurity solution. It doesn't even have to be a software solution. It could be any solution that is very technical in nature. Then oftentimes what it's difficult for organizations to do is to find you know, and build sales team just on your traditional account executive alone, right? Account executives are very good at what they do. They're very good at relationships. They're very good at selling, you know, and building those relationships and building the network that they need to go build. But generally what they'll lack is the deep technical expertise, that subject matter expertise in whatever solution that they're selling, whatever product that they're selling. And so that's really where pre-sales engineer or pre-sales solution architect, whatever you might want to call it, solutions consultant. So there's multiple names for it. And really they're all very similar in nature. It's just different name, whether you're a pre-sales engineer or a pre-sales solution architect, your goal is the same. Your goal is to work very closely with the account executives, the salespeople, so to speak, to help position a solution to customers. And in our roles as pre-sales sales engineers, our job is to be that person can go in and go down to a very deep level in terms of how the solution works, how it would integrate into their environment or their stack, so to speak, and really truly understand how that's going to help bring them value and how they're going to go from not having the solution to having the solution or product and putting it in place and how that might change their life. And so there's a lot in there that might require deep understanding of technical details of the, not only the solution, but getting to understand deep detailed understanding of the customer's environment or the prospect's environment. So that's really what a solution architect or a sales engineer is meant to do on the pre-sales side. So our job is to focus on helping those customers get comfortable with the solution or the product and get them to purchase. And once there's a purchase, then that's typically handed off to then a post-sales team that's going to help with the actual implementation of the product or service.
Right. Okay. So someone who perhaps is listening to this may well have the question of, well, why wouldn't an organization just hire more technically competent salespeople? Because what you were outlining, and I definitely, you know, get it, is that to give a blanket expression, salespeople are very, very good at kind of building those relationships and kind of kicking down the doors, getting in, but may lack the deep technical understanding. So playing devil's advocate, why wouldn't an organization just hire the ones that do?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I'll say, to be frank, it's difficult. It's very difficult to find, you know, most, and it will depend on the solution. But most organizations will struggle to find enough people that would have that deep level of expertise, right? So, you know, if you look at my background, it comes from, you know, almost, you know, let's say 10 or 15 years of actual practical experience on the other side of the fence. And so that's common, you know, that we see when I'm looking for sales engineers, I'm looking for people that have that deep level of experience, that practical experience of being in the weeds of the technology. That's going to help give them the ability to be very good at what they do versus, you know, salespeople that are generally not that deep technically. So you, when I say we have to get pretty deep, again, it will depend on the solution, but we have to be very broad, very deep at our knowledge. And that's very difficult to find in salespeople. When you're trying to build and grow a company very quickly, it's going to be difficult. Now, the best salespeople will indeed be technical themselves, meaning they'll be able to really understand the product from a high level. They may be even able to get into the product and do things. So it's not that they're not technical, but it's the depth of knowledge that you want to get into that makes sales engineering so valuable. And now I'll say there's one other component to it as well, is there's some psychology to sales and sales motions as well. And so where a sales engineer can become very valuable is, you know, as a sales representative, as an account executive, you're always seen as that person. Meaning, as a customer, if I'm talking to a sales rep, I know they're the sales rep. They're the one carrying the bag. They're looking for the money, and I have a different level of trust that I have when I'm buying something from someone. Whereas pre-sales engineers generally can build different relationship with customers. And so they can get a deeper relationship with customers. You know, in my world in cybersecurity, the directors of information security or the CISOs, there's only a certain level of trust that they have for salespeople, and they can build a deeper level of trust and understanding in engineers that have been in their shoes, that have done the work that they've done. And so it's very valuable to understand that dynamic, you know, in a sales process, to know that you can have this kind of secondary resource, a sales engineer who is building technical relationships within an account, gaining trust that way, and then leveraging that within the sales cycle and you know, having some diversity there. Because there's conversations I can have as a sales engineer that a sales account executive would never successfully have, in my opinion.
Right. So would it be fair to say that, okay, in an ideal world, an organization would, you know, if they could, would hire one person to basically do the same thing, but because they're such different disciplines, a great sales guy has spent a career crafting his art, a great SE will have spent a career crafting his art, and you can't have somebody that's had two careers. I mean, it just doesn't, I mean, I've seen some really good SEs that have gone on to become great sales guys. But when you're crafting two very different skills, it will be very, very difficult to achieve true mastery in one career of two. Would that be a fair? Would you think that would be a fair thing to say?
It would be. Not to mention the level of work and the load required, and when you're doing deep technical sales, right? There's just a volume of effort too. But you're right. You know, going back to the point that I have seen and I've helped coach very good sales engineers who have wanted to make that jump to become a sales executive. And I've coached them through that process. And I'd say it's probably only 50-50 at best of which ones can make that jump successfully.
Yeah.
But I have friends today that have made that jump and are doing very well as sales executives. But one of the things that they learn is exactly that, not to try to be the sales engineer when they make that jump, to really buy into the fact that they're wearing a different hat now, they're viewed differently within accounts and within customers, and to really leverage that. And they have to go get good at other things. And what that means is it doesn't give them as much time to stay as up to date as maybe sales engineers need to on technology, right? You know, the pressure is always on us to stay as relevant and as up to date. I mean, with new technologies that are coming out in the cybersecurity world, we have to think about you know, cloud and cloud environments, and that's changed our world in terms of our technology all the way down to the core of it. And so there's a lot of pressure to be able to stay up to date so that you can have those really meaningful, deep conversations, technical conversations that become very difficult to do if you're really focused on driving pipeline and, you know, events and all these things that sales account executives have to do. So there's just a body of work there that's, you know, a lot for one individual.
Right. No, I'm sure. Absolutely. So given your experience of both being a sales engineer and now leading a global team of sales engineers, what makes up a good sales engineer? What are the practices, the character traits, the sort of day in the life type of thing of a good sales engineer?
Yeah. So obviously, first and foremost, as we talked about, the importance of a sales engineer is to bring the subject matter expertise to whatever product or service that they're selling, right? So they have to have a deep industry knowledge within what they're selling into, right? So in my world, in cybersecurity, the people that I look for are people that have years of experience in cybersecurity and really have a deep understanding and appreciation and passion, quite frankly, for that area of expertise. So that's one. So you really need to have that. You can obviously learn, right? You can have a technology background and not know cybersecurity really deeply and make your way in there. But there is work that you're going to have to do to kind of catch up, and you have to be willing to do that. But that deep industry knowledge, extremely valuable. Beyond that, you know, sales engineers, there's a lot of different characteristics that I'm looking for when I interview for sales engineers. And certainly one of them is that generally as a sales engineer, you're not going to be dedicated to one account executive. You're going to be supporting one or more different sales engineer or sales account executives. And if you've spent any time in the world of sales, you'll quickly realize that the best sales account executives are very much type A personalities, right? They're very strong personalities. They're very good at what they do. But they want to operate a certain way. And that's not always the same between account executives. So when you're a sales engineer, you have to be agile in how you work. You have to be able to, we are really a support organization. I mean, we're supporting these account executives. They have the pressure on their head to go hit these big numbers in sales and everything else. Our job is to help support them. And I might have 2, 3, 4 account executives that I'm supporting. So I have to learn how to operate with each one of them, right? And it's a sales process is like a dance, you know, with a customer. When I'm doing a demo in front of a customer, I might have a different style that I'm delivering depending on the account executive that I'm working with. So I have to be able to be agile that way and be able to work with people really, really well, right? So that's one. Another thing is obviously being able to find the answers. It's not always about having all the answers. Like knowing your stuff is important, but being able to be creative in how to go find those answers and projecting that confidence and that strength and that swagger to those customers when you don't know the answer to something. You know, there's a good way to do it and a bad way to do it, so to speak. Yeah. Right. And you have to have confidence and a swagger about yourself. And then there's things like, you know, you got to be really detailed oriented, right? You got to be a good communicator, which it seems like simple things, but when you're looking at deeply technical people, sometimes those that are really deep at technical technology and really strong at technology aren't always the best communicators, right? So in the cybersecurity world, we can have people who are really, really deep at a certain area, body of knowledge, but they wouldn't make great sales engineers because they're not great communicators, right? They're not great at storytelling. So there's things of that nature. So it's you know, the people skills, the communication skills, attention to detail, obviously anything on the sales side, I think that you have to have this great attention to detail, the follow up, this kind of personal drive as well, you know, as you are in sales, right? You know, I call them sales engineers. So, you know, you're not just an engineer, you're a sales engineer. So you're responsible for helping to reach those numbers as well. So you have to be a driven individual. So those are some of the things that I look for. You know, and what makes a good sales engineer, and from my perspective, in my experience.
So maybe one or two sort of spring to mind. Can you give an example of maybe somebody who either you hired or you inherited when you came into an organization that you weren't sure that they would make the grade, but really blew it out of the park?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's let me think of an example. I mean, there's a couple on my team now that I think are great examples of how you can come in and you can learn and grow into these positions. So one in particular, I'll talk about both of them. One came from a consulting background, right? Didn't really have the sales experience, but was extremely personable. Just had this great personality about her, and she had the technical background to go learn that. What she really needed to learn was how to apply those traits, that technical experience, and how to deliver that in a sales environment, and what it took to work within a sales environment. And so that's something that you can absolutely learn, and it really takes the desire to go in and kind of shadow other people and learn. Because if you're like me, I learn from variety. I like to learn not just from one person, but I actually want to learn from seeing how multiple people work. And I want to see the interaction between an individual and a customer. I want to see if I'm selling a piece of software, I want to watch four, five, six different people sell that, different account executives or different sales engineers do their pitch, do their story. And then I'm going to pay attention to how the customer is receiving that. What do they respond with? How do they resonate with storytelling? And I'm going to take little pieces of that and put that into my own storytelling and say, that really seemed to resonate with the customer. I'm going to steal that from Bob over there and this from Sally over here and build that into my own story. And so if you've got the passion and it takes time to go do that and learn and be open and always be open to the feedback. And this individual did all of that. She's got a really, really bright future, in sales engineering. And I couldn't be more excited. These are the things that I love as a leader, right? Is watching these people really, really flourish. And the other example is similar in vein, but this is someone who came directly out of college, right? So came out of a technical degree, and had some cybersecurity teachings in that degree, but of course it's in the classroom, right? And classroom, as we all know, it's never quite the same as the real world. So this is a younger individual who she came right out of college and right into going down this path of becoming a sales engineer. And same kind of thing, had to learn, the sales aspect of it, the salesmanship, so to speak, but had to learn some of the deeper technology just because she has just the college education. She doesn't have the practical experience, right? So again, this comes to being open to exposing yourself to as much information as possible. So whether that's going and getting additional accreditations or taking additional supplemental classes, just learning online. YouTube is, got so many valuable resources there for free. So it's all a question of your hunger and your desire and your passion to go do that. And both of these individuals kind of sunk their teeth in, went and did that, and have gone beyond all expectations so far in their career and what they've done.
Yeah, that's amazing. So from your perspective, how did you find the challenge of stepping up from being a sales engineer to leading a team of sales engineers?
Yeah, it's been leadership has been something that I've been kind of naturally exposed to over the years. As I mentioned kind of in the introduction, I come from a family of entrepreneurs. So, my dad has built multiple companies. In fact, he is almost 80 and still working and innovating in his world, which is crazy. But I've been exposed to it from a very young age growing up. When I started my career at CIBC in Toronto there, I became a team leader almost right away. And so I've had kind of years of experience to build that up. But it is a big challenge. I mean, at the end of the day, when you make that move from being an individual contributor to being a leader, your priorities have to change, right? Your priorities have to change. When you're an individual contributor, especially in the sales side of the world as a sales engineer, your job is to be selfish. Your job is to go out there and close deals or help the account executive close deal and make as much money as you can. I mean, that's the world of sales. When you become a leader, things change. Obviously, you still have to drive a team to go be high-performing team and make as much money as they can, because if they're making money, the company's making money. But now you have to start thinking about building a team and building a culture. And so your priorities change, and it's not something that's easy to do. I've seen many struggle with that over the years, right? That first time you make that jump from an individual contributor to a leader, there's some gut checks that happen during that. And there's some realities that there's some things that are not as fun when you're a leader. There's a lot of work, having a large global team. I don't get, one of my passions is being in front of customers and talking to customers and being out there in the field and talking to partners, customers, all those things. But the reality is when you have a 35, 40 plus person team, you do a lot of back-end work. You're doing a lot of work managing that team, putting the things in place to make sure that team can be successful and managing that team to success. And you don't get as much exposure. You don't get to do some of that quote-unquote fun stuff that kind of drove you into this field. So it can be hard to balance. You got to have a balance that way. I try very hard to get out into the field as much as I can, but there's a lot of things I need to do behind the scenes to take care of my team. And I really talk about, you know, to my team players to be, my job is to be an agent for them, right? To represent them, but also represent the company at the same time. But is to make them successful. And each one of the people on my team have a different path. They're at different stages in their careers. You know, some have been in the industry for 20 years, like I have. Some are just getting into the career, like that student right out of college.
Right.
And so it's managing all of that, managing those paths for them, you know, from compensation to annual or semi-annual, biannual reviews, all of those things. There's a lot of effort that goes into having a successful team, and it takes a lot of work. And you got to, when you get into leadership, you got to know that that's really what you want to do. Otherwise, you know, it can wear you down.
Right. No, absolutely. So what would you say are your three tips if somebody wants to be successful as a sales engineer?
Yeah. So first of all, make sure you're passionate about, you know, not only the technology or the area that you're going into to sell. You got to be passionate about it. If customers detect when you're not passionate about something, if you don't love what you're selling, they know really, really quickly. If you don't believe in it, they'll figure it out really quickly. So be passionate, love what you're selling, and be passionate about, you know, if you're technical and you want to get into sales, just know what comes along with that, the pressure of being in sales. You know, there's a lot of pressure. We have to hit numbers. And so be prepared for that pressure and be excited about that. That's right. Have that be something that's a challenge to you. So be passionate about what you're selling. Be ready to be aggressive and be hungry to go win deals, right? And be inspired by winning deals.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other thing I'll just say is on the sales engineering side, you've got to have really strong interpersonal skills, communication skills. You got to want to be in front of people, right? Yeah. If you're the type of technical person that likes to have your headphones on and working at your desk, achieving results, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's probably not a great fit on the sales engineering side. You got to want to be in front of people. You got to want to, you know, talk to people and collaborate and so forth. And those are the three things. If you have those passions in those areas and you're strong technically, then that's probably a good conversation. Something if that's enticing you, something to think about.
Okay, great stuff. So what's next for you and for Axonius?
Well, growth, a lot of it. I mean, we are a very fast growing company. We have so much more than that we want to accomplish. We've been incredibly successful to date, but we have so much more that we want to do. We have a really big product launch that's coming up here for us soon. That's going to be, you know, pivotal in our success. We're really excited about that. And you know, we are just all in on growth, right? We're growing very, very rapidly, but we're doing that, as always, you have to be smart about growth at the same time. So it's exciting. We're out there solving real challenges for customers. There's nothing more exciting than that. So just hopeful to continue the success that we've seen, to continue to get to work with some of the world's greatest customers, and to solve real challenges for them. And at the same time, build a company that will help many, many, many careers, grow many careers, help people learn, and continue to be one of the best companies to work for on the planet.
Amazing. Fantastic. And what's next? And if people wanted to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to do that?
LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn every day. So I'm not hard to find. I don't even know if there's another Sean Blankhorn on there. Maybe there is, but find me on LinkedIn. Should not be hard to find. Reach out to me. Always happy to collaborate, to give advice, you know, wherever you're at within your stage of your career, or if there's opportunities for collaboration in other ways, partnership, I'm always open. So find me on LinkedIn, and that's the best way to get a hold of me.
Amazing. Thank you. That's amazing. Well, Sean, thank you so much for joining us here in the conference room. This has been fascinating. I mean, People hear phrases like pre-sales and sales engineering. So to have somebody come in and to break it down in as forensic a way as you did has been incredibly valuable. And I'm so grateful for you coming in and giving us the benefit of your knowledge and your expertise. So Sean Blenkhorn, thank you so much for coming and joining us here on the Conference Room.
My pleasure, Simon. I appreciate it. And thank you very much for the time.
Coming up next week on the Conference Room, I'll be talking to Chief Product and Operating Officer of cybersecurity early stage vendor Viridium, Baba Amin.
It's not just about selling the product, but to get the product installed, adopted, and in use so that there is actual value that the customer gets out of that. Because if they're not getting value out of that, they're not going to increase their usage.
Thanks so much for listening. We really appreciate it. And make sure you visit our website, theconferenceroompodcast.com, to see all the other episodes and to get access to the show notes and resources mentioned in this episode. If you enjoyed the episode, please share it with your network, or better still, go on to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other podcast platform and leave us a 5-star review. It'll only take you a moment, but it'll mean the world to us. And please don't hesitate to tell us which topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes. To get in touch, drop us a line in the comments section or send us a message on social media. Just search for The Conference Room Podcast or me, Simon Lader, on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, or TikTok. I'm always open to a conversation. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you'll be alerted when a new episode goes live every week. Thanks so much for listening to The Conference Room, and until next time, keep talking.